We begin the Gemara in Daf Masechta Nedarim, Daf Nun Ches. We begin on the bottom of Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, on the bottom line, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Daf. That is, the Gemara had introduced a question that was posed by Yishmoel, either from a village by the sea or from Kfar Diyama. He had an onion, and this is related to the topic of our Mishnah, which was speaking about Gidulin, of growths. So he had the question that it was a Shemitah onion, which is prohibited. And however, it was planted in the eighth year, which is a non-Shemitah year, and now the growths actually outnumbered, and if it was a different item, for example, it would nullify the onion of Isra of the Shemitah year. The question he posed was, since the outgrowths are from the bulb of the onion itself, which, as we explained in our Mishnah, is something that Ein Zarekola, the seed, the root, the bulb, is not something that disintegrates, unlike, let's say, grain. It rather expands and has more layers and becomes a bigger onion. So there the question was, do we say that the outgrowths are essentially a manifestation of the same Isra of the bulb itself and they were there forbidden? Or do we say that no, since they grew this extra part in the non-Shemitah year, those growths are permitted. And hence, to the contrary, they're actually, since there's a their ratio is greater than the original ratio, which was in the Shemitah year, they're actually going to mevatel, they're going to nullify the original bulb itself, and the whole thing will be permitted. That was the question, do we say that Gidulim are mevatlas ikar or not? So the Gemara attempted to prove this, and the Gemara said that it's not necessarily a proof, because maybe that which we said was only as a stringency, but who said that we're going to say that the Gidulim are mevatlas ikar even as a leniency, which is really the case of Yishmael, which wanted to know, can we say that the Shemitah onion is going to be permitted now, because its Gidulim are now of heter, are going to mevatl its ikar of iser. So the Gemara says, Eleman Hoda Ditanya. Rather, let's try to bring a right to this question of the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Reb Shimon says, as we continue on top of Netches and Aleph, he says the following rule. He says, Kol Dava Sheyesh L'Matirin, anything which has a permitted way of it being permitted. In other words, although now it's a prohibited item, but there's a way for it to be permitted. Kugain, for example, Tevel, untithed produce, which is an Isser, it's prohibited. And therefore, when it gets mixed in with unconsecrated, meaning permitted food, regular chulin, so although generally you would say that there's a halacha of bittul, whether it's roiv or 60 or 100 or 200, whatever the item is, that there's a halacha of bittul, but since tevel could be permitted, it doesn't have to be a prohibited item, because you could go ahead and take maisers and trumas from some other place of produce for this tevel. So therefore, regarding tavel, which has matirin, and umayser sheni, which is also, although it's prohibited now in chutz laretz, but since you could bring it up and let's say eat in Yerushalayim, or you could redeem it, like the next case of a hekdesh, which both of these items, although they're prohibited, but they have matirin, there's a way for them to be permitted and non-prohibited. And the way they could do that is by being redeemed, you could redeem the hekdesh and the umayser sheni. And so to b'chadosh, regarding the new grain, the new crop of the new year, where although it's prohibited, but when the carbon oimer is brought, then it becomes permitted. So regarding these items that have matirin, le'nosnu b'hem chacham shir. The sages did not give a measurement of how much it's necessary for it to create an isser when it becomes a taruvus, or forbidden mixture with a permitted item, because actually they created isser even with what's called a kalshu, even a minute amount, even if you have 1,000 to 1, it's still going to be usser when it's mixed with something, as the Ran explains, that it's of the same type, what's called min b'minay. But actually, the Ran says, when it's mixed with enoimine, with a different type of thing, for example, one's one type of food, another one's a different type, then actually the halacha would be what's called shishimo, that if it gives flavor. The reason being is, as we explained on the previous daf, in Nafman Beis and Aleph, that since right now they're not deficient in their isser right now, it's a full-fledged isser. Hence, the fact that it's different, that this is us and that's mutter, and also that this is one type of min, that's a different way, there's a great disparity, that we explained at length over there, so therefore it's nothing really lacking in the Isser itself. So from the fact that you have those differences, it definitely could create a bittul, it could be a nullification, if there's a halacha of shishim. Now, one more point the Ran points out, is that actually the last paragraph of Masechta Avodah Zarah explains a different reason for the halacha of why there's no nullification of tevel, unlike our Gemara, which says the reason is because that there has matirim to it. The Gemara there in Avodah Zarah says, because what's the words of the Gemara there is, just like the way you permit tevel is even with a kol shehu, you could take off truma just a bit and it's already not tevel, so through the issur that it creates is even with a kol shehu, so even though it's a minute amount mixed in such a large mixture of permitted items, it will still create a nisa just like its heter is with a kol shehu. But that's what the Gemara, that's what Reb Shimon is saying, that all these items that could be permitted, so therefore there's no measurement of how much you need inside this mixture with permitted items to create a nisr, there's no nullification. Even if there's a minute amount, a ratio of a 1,000 to 1, they're still going to be asr. Now, however, but regarding prohibited items that don't have any way of them becoming permitted, for example, truma, you can't redeem truma, you can't fix it from any other place. Truma that was taken off is intrinsically truma. There's nothing you can do about it. Or v'trumas meiser, which is when you give a tithe, the tenth of the produce to the Levi, then the Levi has to take from his meiser that he got from the Yisrael and give truma to the kohen. That's called meiser from his meiser. And v'chala, regarding chala, which is a portion of when a person bakes a certain amount of bread, they have to take off a portion and give that to the kohen. Now, although the Ram points out that these items that we mentioned, like for example chala, that you could do what's being shoil on it, you could be matir it essentially, because you can go and say that I didn't really want this to be the chala, I wanted a different piece to be chala, and thus essentially, although it's usur, there is a way for it to be mutter. And that the Ram says, since there's no mitzvah to do that, unlike let's say by a neder where there's a mitzvah to undo the neder, because it's not like a tchila for a person to make a neder, so therefore it's not called a dabar sheyesh lematirin, as we're going to explain later on daf nun tes. Although yes, there is a way out of it, but that wouldn't be considering it as a dava sheyesh lematirin. So therefore, it is from the category of things which have no other way for them to be permitted without bittul, without nullification. And continuing on this list is va'arla, fruits of a tree in its first 3 years, v'kal ha'kerem, or other produce that was planted together in a forbidden mixture of a vineyard. So all these things are intrinsically prohibited and there's no way for them to be permitted. So by nasnu b'hem chacham ashir. So regarding these things, the sages gave them a measurement. That is, although min ha-tayra, essentially the halacha is bitl b'rayv, all you need is a majority of 2 to 1, but that's what we know in halacha, that there's larger measurements, but those are rabbinic measurements. So regarding these things that have no other way of becoming permitted, so that the sages gave certain measurements what is required, that even when they get mixed with their own type, it will be bottle. For example, truma, trumas maisa, and chala, you need a ratio of 100 to 1. Arla and klai kerem need a ratio of 200 to 1. And regarding when they're mixed with not their same type, with a different type of food or item, then it will be a ratio of 60 to 1, because that's when it's recognized. The taste, shishim, is interchangeable somewhat with the idea of having taste, where it gives taste only up until 60. But once it's 60 to 1, you're not going to taste that prohibited item in the Einamina, which you could tell the taste because it's a different type of a food. So that's what Reb Shimon said. He said, if it has matirim, then there's no bittul. If it doesn't have matirim, there's no other way for it to be permitted, then we could say nullification works. So Amulai, so the sages said to Reb Shimon, but we could disprove your theory. V'aloi shviyas, ein lo matirim, shmitah produce has no permitted way. You can't redeem it. There's nothing you could do about it. And yet, so although it's in lamatirin, which you said anything that doesn't have matirin could have nullification depending on what item it is, what the measurement was given, but yet here we have shemitah produce, which has no way of being permitted, and yet still the sages said that even a kol shehu, even a minute amount, will make everything forbidden, and there's no nullification for it. Tatnan, as the Gemara says, as we learned in the Mishnah Masech the Shvias, says, HaShvias Aiseris kol shehu. Shemitah produce will make other things prohibited, even with a minute amount, b'mina, when it's mixed with its same type, and that is, whether it's the Shemitah produce is mixed with other types of fruits, or, and this is primary for why the Gemara is introducing this brisa for, or is even if, let's say, you take an onion from a 6th-year onion, which is a permitted onion, then you planted that onion, that bulb, in the 7th year, now that growth, which might be just a small amount in contrast to the large onion that was planted and that you had taken out from the ground in the 6th year, will create an issur in that onion. So therefore, the sages asked him, this disproves your rule, because it has no matirin, there's no way for it to be permitted, and still, there's no nullification for it. So Amalahan, so Reb Shimon responded to them, no, af ani lo yamarti, I also didn't say, or like the gear sub, the run is, afheim loy amru, so too they didn't say, because either way it's coming, it's Reb Shimon interpreting what does that Mishnah Masechta Shviz mean when it says that Shemitah produce will make other things forbidden, even with a minute amount if it's mixed with its same type, let's say with other onions, or the onion itself with other growths on that onion. That was El Labir. That was only regarding to the halacha that Shemitah produce has to be consumed before a certain amount of time, which when it reaches that time, then you have to get rid of it. You can't go ahead and use that Shemitah produce anymore. So, and that's what Reb Shimon says. That's what the Mishnah means in Sechta Shviyas that you're asking on me from. That if, let's say, the Shemitah produce is mixed with other things, which is what we call Tarubis, which makes it a mixture of prohibited and permitted items, if it was mixed before the time of beer, when you have to get rid of it. Now, the reason being why there it'll be also even the culture is actually it fits into my rule. Because since it's possible to eat it now, because Shemitah produce you're allowed to eat, because it's before the time of beer, the only problem that would happen is once it reaches the time of beer, then you have the Shemitah produce mixed into the permitted, now everything's going to be aser. So therefore he says it's like a dava shiesh lematirin, it's like something that has a permitted way. Because now Shemitah, go ahead and consume the whole thing, there's a way out of it. Yes, after beer you're not going to be able to. And then you'll have to confront this problem of a culture with a larger permitted amount. But now before the beer, before the time that you have to get rid of it, you could consume it. So that's like yesh lematirin. Aval achila, but regarding consumption, in other words, the way the Ran's interpreting, is that if the Shemitah produce gets mixed in with other permitted produce after the time of liquidation, of getting rid of the Shemitah produce, where there, that would be prohibiting totally the entire mixture, where then you wouldn't be able to eat it at all, and then it would be considered ein lehamatim, there's no permitted way, because now you can't eat Shemitah produce whatsoever after the time of beer. So that's where Reb Shimon says, whether it's mixed with the same type or with a different type, that is what I said, it's going to be benois in tam. With, if it gives flavor, in other words, up to shishim, because actually Shemitah will have a din of nullification, you could nullify it, it will not asa b'kosher, because then after the time of beer, then it's something that has no matirim, there's no permitted way of consumption for it, and therefore then actually will be like my rule, and that is, it will have a shear of bittel. Whereas that Mishnah Masechta Shviyas was talking about before the time of beer, of course it's going to ask the Bekosher, because there's a permitted way to consume it all without doing bittel, because it's before the time of beer and you could consume the whole mixture. Now, so therefore the Gemara says what we see from this Braisa is that the gedulin, that the outgrowths, are not considered an extension, and by default the same characteristics, as the primary bulb that it comes from. Because if it did have the same properties, then how could Reb Shimon be saying that we're going to say the part that grew in the Shemitah year will make the whole thing forbidden, but the primary bulb was in the sixth year? And if you're saying that that it's an extension of the bulb itself, then why would we say that the Shviyas would aser kol shehu b'mina? So even if you're saying that's before the time of beer, so fine, so that culture, that little bit that grew in the Shemitah year is prohibited. But you have the rest of the bulb that was from the sixth year, the rest of the onion, which is permitted. And if you're saying that it's an extension of the bulb itself, and the bulb is permitted, so then extension should also be considered permitted. So why would we say that little bit that grows in the seventh year is going to make the whole thing forbidden? So rather, this is the proof of the Gemara, that obviously the extension is that the outgrowths that grew now when it was replanted is not considered an extension of the primary bulb itself, and therefore that's why now that we see them as separate, so the gidel, the extra part that grew in the Shemitah year, is a little bit that's a culture that's forbidden. So we said that when it's still before the time of beer, that it's like considered yesh lematirin, it's going to make the whole thing forbidden. Now this is the point that Ron says that proves how he framed the Yishmael's question on the previous daf. That obviously, that if you hold that the gedulim, the extension, the outgrowths, are not going to elevate and nullify the ikur, which is, in the case of Yishmael, was the forbidden part, then obviously, you're going to say that the gedulim are like the ikur itself, which means to say that the Ran had explained that the question if the outgrowths nullify the primary part is essentially the same question as asking if the gedulim themselves are permitted. Forget about nullifying the forbidden primary part when, let's say, it was a Shemitah onion that then was planted in the eighth year, where then you have Gedulin of Heter and the Iker is Aser. So then the Gemara had phrased it in the way of, do we say that the Gedul is going to be Mevatel and permit even the Iker. But that the Ran explained that it's not just that, but the question is even, do we say that the Gidul itself is permitted? Because if you say not, then actually it's because what would be the logic to say that it's not going to nullify is because we see it itself as Iser, as an extension of the bulb itself. And he says the reason is because if you don't say that, then how could the Gemara prove from here that for the fact that the Gedulin in the Shemitah year are going to be Aser, and that's obviously that they're Aser because or else they would be like the Iker, which means that it's an onion from the sixth year, and therefore even that little bit that grows in the seventh year would not make the thing forbidden. How would the Gemara be able to prove from there to answer Yishmael's question, which wasn't about if the Gedulin are Aser or Mutra at all? It was about, do we say that it's going to nullify the Iker? So obviously the Ran says, this is like how we explained in the previous daf, that by default, yes, of course, if we're viewing it as separate from the Iker, which in this case is that the Gidul is an Isser part, and therefore since it's a culture of Isser of the bulb of the onion, it can make the whole onion forbidden, which was really originally permitted. So therefore that would obviously, again, be related from the fact that it itself is Asser. That's why it makes the primary thing Asser too, which again is what the Gemara is trying to prove. Same thing would work in reverse regarding the case of Yishmael. We have a forbidden onion bulb from the Shemitah year that was then planted in the eighth year, and the outgrowths were more enough to be mevatel and nullify the primary, since we're viewing the Gidul as separate and permitted, so therefore it could be mevatel as the Iker. So now the Gemara rejects the Raya, because Bedil Maha, maybe here also, as we had said on the previous stuff, that although we're saying that the Gidule Shvius are Usr and separate, and thus now creating a problem for even the Iker, maybe that's Nami Luchomershani. Maybe that's also, as we said in the previous daf, it's only because we're saying it as a stringency. And that's why we're saying that the Gidul could be mevatel as to Iker. But maybe, according to the basic halacha, I would tell you that's not true. Maybe the Gidulin are like the Iker itself, and therefore, in the case of Yishmael, we would say that the Gidulin of, so to speak, Heter, would not be able to mevatel and nullify the part of Iker, because actually the Gidul is actually an extension of the Iker, and just like the Iker is from the Shemitah year, so too the Gidulin are from the eighth year are considered prohibited Shemitah type of growths. Now, the Ram points out that what was the Gemara's havamina, what was the Gemara's assumption? Of course, we already said in the previous daf, the same rejection of Araya where we said Dilma L'chumra, maybe it's just an stringency. So why did the Gemara attempt to bring a Raya from this case, which also we could say the same idea, that maybe it's only as a stringency, but really we would never say that as a leniency, that the Gedulin are different and thus nullify the Iker. So that the Ran says that the reason why the Gemara attempted to bring a Raya from this Braisa is because we would have assumed to say that not to make the same rejection as we said in the previous daf, that we would only say it as a stringency, because the previous Braisa that we brought on the previous daf, there was only one stringency that we were going to say. Where we're going to say that the Gidul, as if they came from, not from the Iker itself. But here, if we're going to say that, really we don't say that the Gidul are separate from the Iker, and thus that's why it could nullify, and we could view it as something else to nullify the Iker, you actually would have to make a double stringency. Because first of all, you would have to say that regarding beer, that you have to get rid of the Shemitah produce, that since there are matirin, A, it's going to be usher in the culture, and that's really a stringency in its own right, the fact that we're going to consider it as a double yeshesh matirin that will usher even the culture. And moreover, you're going to have the double stringency that gidulin, that really the halacha is not to create an isser, even no matter how much there is, because you're really telling me that gidulin are like the ikr, that still it's going to make an isser even the culture. So therefore the Gemara had thought to say that it doesn't make sense to say that this is not the primary halacha, because if we're going to say that this is only based on the stringency, you would have to say a double stringency. A, that we view this as an isser culture because ein le matirin, and B, moreover, it's that we're going to say that even though the halacha is really that we don't view gidulin as separate from the ikr, here we will view it as separate from the ikr and thus create an isser, even the culture, because it grew a little bit in the Shemitah year. And that is what the Gemara is saying, that no, even so, we are rejecting the Raya, and we're saying that no, maybe here also, it is L'chum Mershani, because actually we are maybe going to say even a double stringency. A, that it's going to be considered as a double Shiyesh L'matirin, because since it's before the time of beer, you could consume the whole thing, and thus it'll be us even the Kalshu. And moreover, that you're going to have this Isser of a Kalshu viewed as separate, as a Gidul, different than the Iker, which again we're saying that maybe that's not the Halacha, as we're not going to say it as a leniency, and rather as a stringency, we'll say that the Gidul is separate, Thus, this little bit that grows in the Shemitah year is different than the 6th year, and thus, it could create an Isser for the whole thing, because it could also be Kolshu, since it's a Dava Sheishlamat here. So again, there's no Raya for the question of Yishmol. So Elamin Hada Pashta. So the Gemara says, rather, let's resolve it from the following proof. That's not like we learned the Mishnah Masechta Shviyas. The Mishnah says, B'tzolim Sheyardu Aleim Gishamim. Regarding onions that were grown in a permitted way, but then in the 7th year, rains fell on them, B'tzamchu, and they sprouted. So on that, the Mishnah says, Imhoyu Olin Shelehen Shchayrin. If the leaves of them are black, which the Ran says doesn't really mean that they're black, it just means they're turning black, which that's just a sign, it's symptomatic that they grew very well in the Shemitah year, and thus it was from the growth of the Shemitah land that it grew, so they're fasurin. So therefore, these onions, although they were pre-Shemitah produce, which are permitted, but since they grew in the Shemitah year, so that's prohibited status that it has in it. However, hayriku, since they're not black, they're more yellowish, they're more pale, so therefore obviously it's not because of the nourishment of the land that they grew, rather it's just the growth of the onion itself expanding, so therefore mataran, then they're going to be permitted because there's no growth of the Shemitah land that made it grow now in the 7th year. That's what the Tanakhama says. Rabbi Hanani ben Tignus, he says a different classification. He says, if you could pull it out by just holding on to the leaves of the onion, then asurin, then they're going to be prohibited. And the reason being is because obviously that's a sign that it was well nourished in the Shemitah year, because you see how strong it is. So therefore, there's obviously Shemitah growth over here creating an Isser. However, if you have the same halacha in the other way around, which it was a Shemitah onion, but then because in the 8th year after Shavuos, then these leaves are when they had their main nourishment. So definitely the growth of the 8th year is going to be more than the 7th year of the onion, of the prohibited onion of the Shemitah year, which is mixed in with it. So then it's actually going to permit that onion, which was a prohibited onion from the 7th year. Now in the 8th year, when it was in the ground, it really got really strong. Now you could just pull it out. So obviously most of its growth came in the permitted year. So there it's going to be permitted. So the Gemara says, obviously you see from here that the gidulin, the outgrowth of a permitted or prohibited, but in this case it's a prohibited item, is not going to be an extension of the prohibited item. And to the contrary, we'll view it as separate. So what it grew in the 8th year is permitted, and it could even be mala, it could be mavatla, it could nullify the prohibited status of the onion, which was from the Shemitah year. So you see that the gidul and armavatal is the ikr, even lakula, even as a leniency, because here we have 8th year growth nullifying the 7th year onion. So therefore, that, as the Gemara says, lememra, this seemingly says the giduli heter malnas iser. This resolves the smallest question in the previous daf. We see that growth of heter, even in the item itself, if that outweighs, if that's more of than the prohibited bulb itself, it could nullify the iser. So that the Gemara rejects the Raya. It says, no, v'dilma b'muduchanin. Maybe what we're talking about over here is that this prohibited bulb of the onion from the Shemitah year was first crushed before it was planted. Now, since it's crushed, therefore that diminishes the status of this bulb. And that's why we're saying over there in that Mishnah that the growths are not going to be considered an extension of the bulb of the ikar itself. And that's why we'll view it as separate, and that's how it could nullify the bulb of the 7th year. But really, what the Gemara is saying is that it wouldn't be proof in general, where you have a regular bulb where it's the same as it always was, and that's just expanding. Maybe there it's considered totally extant, and hence whatever's coming out are not considered geduli heter, they're considered a gidul of the primary iser. And then who said maybe even matzah shvius, when it's growing in the 8th year, actually would not be mala eser iser, and even that would be considered aser. So therefore, there's no raya. So the Gemara says, Elamin Hodda D'Tanya. Rather, let's try to bring a raya from the following Braisa as we continue on Talmud Beis. The Braisa says, HaMenachish, if someone was pruning, meaning he was picking out the extra leaves that was amongst this produce, Im HaKuti, together with Akuti, meaning it's Akuti's produce, and they were picking, specifically they were pruning it from B'Chatzoyis, which the Gemara later on will explain. Chatzoyis are these types of family of vegetables, which their seed does not disappear. It's just, it keeps on expanding. For example, like onion or garlic, where the bulb doesn't disappear like grain, doesn't disintegrate, it just keeps on expanding. So in that the Braisa says, so a Jew that's working with a kuti, so he could be oichel mehen achilas aroi. He's allowed to consume, like a worker is allowed to generally eat from the produce that he's working in. So if the owner lets him, he could, as he's working, he could eat temporary type of consumption from these chasoyas. Now, the chiddush in this is that we're now concerned that maybe this, let's say we'll pick an onion. Maybe this onion was actually already completed before it was planted. Meaning when it's completed, it's turned into what's ready for meiser. Then it becomes tevel. Once it becomes tevel, then, since it was completed before you had planted it the second time, then you're never allowed to eat it, even an achilas aroi. Now, and that is what the Braisa is teaching a chiddush, that we're not concerned that maybe it was completed and ready for meiser before it was planted then again, and thus now when it's growing, you can't eat it, even achilas aroi in the temporary type of eating because it's full-fledged tevel. That the Braisa is saying, we're not concerned about that for two reasons. Either because since this whole meiser of these chasoyis is only rabbinic, therefore we're not concerned for that. Moreover, second reason is because since we assume, as the next halacha is going to tell us, that a kuti doesn't take off meiseris, and that's why we're going to say uma'asrin vaday, that when you take off the meiser from their produce, it's not like demai, which is out of doubt, it's definite you have to take off meiser. So we assume that probably it did not come to a status of a geirin, which is a state when it's ready to become tevel and you have to take off meisers, is because it's not normative for a kuti to make it into a geirin from chesayis, because the whole reason why someone would make it into a geirin would only so that you could come to a state that you could take off meisers. But there's no reason for the processing of it to have to make it into a geirin, so therefore only a Yisrael would do that, but a kuti wouldn't do that, who they have questionable status regarding what mitzvahs they do full-fledged and what not, and meiser is one of those things that they're not so nizer and careful in. So therefore, the Braisa says, you don't have to be concerned that what you would be eating here, achilas aroi, because once it's finished, or if you're eating achilas kava, it would be a problem. But we're not concerned that the first time around, before it was planted, was already completed, because A, it's the Rabbanan, and B, because they would never have made it that it was completed, because the only one that does it is ones that take maisa from it, which they don't, as the next halacha says, uma'asrin vaday. And that is, we know for sure that the kuti does not take maisa. So when you finish processing it, if you're going to buy from him, you have to take off definite meiser. It's not even like a suffix. That's what the Tanakhama says. Shem ben Elazar, he adds, he says, im Yisrael chashad al ha-shviyas, if you're working in a field with a Yisrael, with a Jew, not a Kuti, but he's suspect regarding the halachas of the Shemitah year, so lamotze shviyas mutter. So however, after the Shemitah year, you're allowed to eat from those growths that had been in the seventh year that then grew and expanded, meaning that there were outgrowths in the eighth year. Because we say that definitely the gedulin, the outgrowths that grew in the eighth year, are more than the primary bulb, let's say, of the onion, which is mixed into the, it's in the same onion itself, that was in the seventh year. So though he suspect regarding the Shemitah produce, so you have to suspect that maybe what is here was really Shemitah produce, but it doesn't make a difference because since it's in the eighth year now, most probably the eighth year is already more the growth than what was in the seventh year. So therefore it's permitted and we're not concerned from the fact that there's some Shemitah element inside of it. So the Gemara says, remember, this seems to say the geduli heta, that the growths of a permitted time, which is in the eighth year when you're working with them, are malaneso iser, that it nullifies the prohibited status of the bulb of that onion, which was very likely in the seventh year because he suspect regarding Shemitah produce. And yet still we see that you're allowed to go ahead and consume that eighth-year onion. So that the Gemara rejects and says, but v'dilma b'davish hazari kala. Maybe when Reb Shimon ben Elazar allowed you to consume, when you're working with a suspect Jew of Shemitah produce, when you're working with him in the eighth year, is because we're talking about the type of produce, for example, like grain, where there the seed totally disintegrates. So when the seed disintegrates, then we agree, and that wouldn't reflect regarding Yishmael's question, that, of course, that the outgrowths are considered distinct from the ikar itself, because the ikar is not even around anymore. So then it could be mala as a iser. But our question was regarding something that the seed does not disintegrate. For example, like by these cases of chasoyas, which are onions, because that's exactly the case that we were discussing. So therefore, there where you still have the primary ikar itself, that was our question. And therefore, again, that wouldn't reflect regarding the question of Yishmael, because maybe this b'rayis is talking about by Davar Shezarei Kala. Not the Gemara answers, but Hatanya. We learned in the b'rayisa, which this was the case Rabbi Shimon Elazar was discussing, regarding someone that's pruning with somebody, with chesayis, said, Elohen chesayis, what are chesayis? Kugin haluf, hashum, v'abitzolim, which are all from the same family of this garlic and onion, and luf is some type of something related to that same family, where there are things, for example, garlic, that their seed, the bulb itself, does not disintegrate. And yet still, we obviously see from Shimon ben Elazar that the gidul, the growth of the aether, will be mala and nullify the ikr. So you can't say that maybe it's only talking about the bedavash zarakala. It's even by something that's in zarakala, and still it can nullify it. So the Gemara attempts a different way to reject the raya. V'dilma b'muduchanin. Maybe we're talking about, as we mentioned previously, that when you grind something, it makes it worse, and therefore then it can be detached and not so primary to say that all the outgrowths are coming from it, an extension of the iser. Maybe the person grinded and crushed the chesayis before they were planted. And that's why you could be lenient and say that the gidulim could be mevatla se'ikr. But who said it would work even if you're not crushing it beforehand? And that the Gemara says, no, you can't say that. Because chashel ala shviyas katani, the case that Rabbi Shimon Elazar is discussing, is regarding somebody that suspect regarding the halachas of Shemitah. Somebody that suspect regarding the halachas of Shemitah would not go through the effort of crushing it before he continues letting it plant and grow in the eighth year, because he's not concerned for that. If you're letting it grow into the eighth year, then yes, then you'll say that the eighth year could nullify the seventh year. But if you tell me it's only because he crushed it, he wouldn't crush it because he doesn't care. He's not religious in regards to the halachas of the Shemitah year. So don't tell me the reason why the eighth year is nullifying the seventh year because you crushed it, because we're talking about a guy that suspects regarding Shemitah produce and he wouldn't go through the effort of crushing it. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, but there's a different way to reject the raya. But Dilma b'taruvas. Maybe we're talking about that the reason why you could consume this, that when it grew in the eighth year, is because it got mixed by itself with other permitted chesayis, and that's why we'll say that the permitted will nullify the iser. But who said that when you only have permitted versus iser in the object itself, that then it will nullify? Maybe then that doesn't resolve the question. Maybe when it's coming from the thing itself, we view it as the same thing as the iser itself. The Gemara says you can't say that either, because hamanachish katani. It says that we're talking about a person that's pruning now. When the person is pruning, he's pulling things out and eating. Obviously, it didn't get mixed with any other things. Being mixed with other things would be maybe later on in the processing of the produce. Here we're talking about just pulling it out. That wouldn't make sense to say it's talking about that's mixed together. And therefore, that's what the Gemara concludes. We obviously have resolved our question that obviously that the growths of the item itself that grew in the eighth year that's permitted are nullifying the ikr, the primary bulb itself, which was usur of the seventh year. And therefore, we resolve Yishmael's question of the previous daf that the gedulin could be mevatla se'ikr, even as a leniency. So therefore, you have a Shemitah bulb that the outgrowth grow more in the eighth year to outweigh in ratio from the ikr, it will nullify and will permit it. So the Gemara says, so based on this resolution, leimit tahavet to yufti Rabbi Yechanan or Rabbi Yainasin. So this should refute what we quoted on the previous daf in Zayin Amabez. We quoted two opinions. We had Rabbi Yechanan, who said when you take a tree that's not even 3 years old yet and has produce on it, and you grafted it with an older tree over 3 years, which doesn't have a problem of Arla. So he said that the fruits that were originally on that earlier tree, even though they grew more than 200 times, which when it was already grafted into the old tree, which is permitted type of produce, but since it was usur when it was grafted, it's never going to be nullified. Now, and therefore we see, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that the Gidl is not Mevatla Zikr. So Rabbi Yainasin said, also on the Zayin Mabez, if you take an onion that was planted in a vineyard, even though you uproot the vineyard, and the only thing that's growing now is the onion, and you have more than 200 times a permitted part of the onion to the prohibited part, still Rabbi Yainasin says that it's usr. Obviously those two hold that the Gedulin are not Malna Zikr, but seemingly they're refuted from this riot. We just proved from this brisa that the gedulin are mevatel as the ikar. So Amar Yitzchak, he says, no, it's not a contradiction to Rabbi Yechanan or Rabbi Yainasin, because Shanya Shvias, Yishmael's question is resolved. from this braisa, which both of them are talking about Shemitah. Yes, regarding Shemitah, we're going to say that the Tosefes, the Gidol, could be mevatel as the Iker. But that doesn't contradict regarding Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonasan that are talking about different prohibitions. Now, the reason why Shemitah is different is Ha'il v'isur al de karka. The whole prohibition of Shemitah is based solely on the ground. As the Pasuk says in Yikra, it says v'shavsa ha'aretz, that the land has to rest. Anything that grows from the land, irregardless of any other external factors, is usur in the Shemitah prohibition. So that's why b'tei losanami al de karka. That's why the nullification of it could also come through the land itself. In other words, yes, when you have more growth of the land, let's say in the eighth year, since it's the same thing that's prohibiting it, what made it usur could make it mutter. So growths are what made it usur. So more growths, gedulin, could say no, that it's going to be permitted. Now, however, that stands in contrast, let's say, to Arla, which is what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about, because the prohibition of Arla is not because of the growth per se, it's because of the time frame when it grew, which was within the first 3 years. So too, regarding the case of Rabbi Yonasan, which was talking about Kalayim, which are forbidden mixtures, it's the mixture, not the growth per se, it's the growth with a different item that made it forbidden. And therefore, the halacha could be like Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonasan, that there, more growth, which is just ground related, not necessarily could be mevatel as a ikar, because the ikar that was usher was not just the fact that it was a growth. So yes, Shemitah resolves the question of Yishmael, as we see in this braisa. Growths are what made it usher, growth can make it permitted. But Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi were talking about different Yisroom that have other external factors and variables. There, the fact that there's more growth, that not necessarily, like they hold, that actually will not be mevatel as a ikar. Now, but the Gemara asks, but according to the way the Gemara just resolved this, but Hari Maisri of the Alochas of Maisr, which is to give a tenth, a tithing of one's produce. The Isuri al de Karka, where they're essentially the Isser, meaning when it's Tevel because you didn't take off Maisers, the prohibition is just from the fact of the land itself, the fact that it grew. It doesn't depend on the specific time when it grew, it doesn't depend on any other variables, and yet Ve'ein B'tei Lase al Dei Karka, how can you say Shemitah is different because it's growth that made it Aser, so growth makes it Mutter, but yet Meiser, which the Iser was through growth, and yet it doesn't get nullified just the fact that there's more growth. The time, like we learned the Braisa. The Braisa says, Litra Meiser Tevel. If you have a Litra of Meiser that's Tevel, what does that mean? So for example, let's say you have Tevel, untithed produce, which Truma was taken off from it, and the first tithe, which is the tenth of the produce that goes to the Levi, was taken off from it. Now, when the Levi gets that Meiser, for him, that Meiser, although now the Yisrael could eat his produce, the Levi, his Meiser that he got from the Yisrael, itself is Tevel, itself is considered untithe, because he didn't yet take off a tithe from his tithe, which he has to give to the Kohen, which is called Truma's Meiser. So, and that's what the Braisa told me, if the Levi has his Meiser, which is Tevel, because he didn't take off yet Truma's Meiser from it, Shezera Bakarka, which then in its Tevel status, this Meiser was planted in the ground, Vishbicha, and then it got better in the Shemitah year. So, Vaharehi Ke'eser Litra. And now, it was originally a Litra when he got it from the Yisrael. Now it grew and it expanded in the Shemitah year. Now it's 10 Litra already, multiplied times 10. So, on that, the Braisa says two halachas. First of all, chayeves b'meiser. First of all, you have to go ahead and take off the meiser from the meiser, which was obligated before he had planted it. The reason being is because we don't say that original litra became batel in the other nine parts that grew in the Shemitah year, where they're actually exempt from meiser, the growth that grew in Shemitah year. And the reason being is because since in the Shemitah year all produce is hefker, which is even the Levi can also eat from Hefker produce, the whole halacha of Meister only applied because Levim don't have their own land, so therefore they get produce from the Yisraelim. But in the Shemitah year, where there's no boundaries, where everyone's allowed to eat it, so therefore there's actually no halacha of Meister in the Shemitah year. So, but still the Brice is saying you're still obligated in the original Meister that was obligated in that first litra, that one-tenth of it. You had to take off Maisa, you still have to take off Maisa now when they grew in the Shemitah year. And another halacha is ubishvias, that you also are obligated in the halachas of Shemitah now, which is that you have to consume all the produce before the time of beer when you have to get rid of it, and that's because of the growth part. that added parts to the 10 litra that grew in the Shemitah year. So those growths have Shemitah produce status, which just like Shemitah produce you have to consume before that time, so too for these parts. Now, the Brisa explains, v'oisa litra ma'asar leha. Now, regarding that first litra, which was what the Ma'aser, the Levi, had gotten from the Israel, which as we explained, he had an obligation of taking off a tenth from that tenth, that Ma'aser you have to take off mimokim acher, from a different place. In other words, what the Brisa is forewarning is that although many times when you have produce, you take a tithe from the produce itself. So if you have 100 bushels, you take off 10 of them and you give it to the Levi, or you give it, in this case, the Levi gives to the Kohen. Here you can't take from the thing itself, because since that you have a mixture, because the added 9 parts of the additional parts that grew in the Shemitah year are actually exempt from Maaser. So if you would take from it itself, you could be taking from what's called Patr Anchi, which is not valid. When you're taking off Maaser, it has to be from everything what you're taking, both what you're taking from and for, are all considered obligated Maaser. Here, the extra part that grew in the Shemitah year is actually not considered obligated, as we said, that's why you only have to take off a Maaser from the Litra, not from all 10 Litra. So you can't take it off the Maaser from itself. You would have to take it from other produce, 1/10 of that Litra itself. And it's Lafi Cheshbon. It's according to the calculation, as we said, that you only have to take off Maaser from the Litra, which had been before you had planted it. But one thing the Gemara says that we see, that obviously there's no nullification of the Maaser itself by Karka, because although it was planted in the Shemitah year, and you have growth that can nullify the primary, still we're saying that the original Litra is Chayv and Trumas Maaser. Now that refutes what the Gemara had said. The Gemara said the reason why it doesn't contradict Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Yonason is because, oh, Shemitah is different. If the Isra came from the growth, so then the Heter could come from growth. But the problem is Maaser is the same way. The Isra comes from the growth, and yet it doesn't get permitted through growth, because although here the obligation of the Trumas Maaser, of this Maaser, of the first Litra, is only from that one Litra, and yet those additional growth were in regards to Maaser are considered Heter, because since it grew in the Shemitah year, which is Hefker, there's no obligation of Maaser and taking off the Trumas Maaser, that growth is way more than that Iker. It should be nullifying the Iker. And yet still we say that it doesn't. So we see that even something that the Isra came through the growth does not become permitted through the growth. That refutes the Gemara's answer. So that the Gemara continues on top of the Testament of it says, no, it doesn't refute the answer that we gave regarding Shemitah. Amri, they said that Maaser is actually not something that the Isra comes solely through the ground. And the reason being is because digun hu de kogarmle. It's actually the piling up in the granary of making a pile out of it, which is called dagan. That's what actually makes the produce obligated in Maaser and not just the growth from the land. And that's why that there's no obligation in Trumas Maaser until you make it into a dagan. So therefore, that original Trumas Maaser, that Maaser that the Levi got from the Israel, had already been dagan beforehand. So that's why it already had its obligation of Maaser from before it was planted. Now, therefore, since it's not considered Isser just through the land, through the growth, because that's not what creates the Isser of having to give Maaser, it's when it becomes Dagan, that's why it's not going to have Bittel just through growth itself, and that's why the Brisa, yes, says that you're still going to have to take off Trumas and Maaser, and the Heter growth, that which grew in the Shemitah year, is not going to nullify it because it's not just through land itself. But again, the Gemara's answer and approach, first of all, answered the question of Yishmael. It's true that the Gedulin are going to be Mevatel Esa Iker, but that's, the Gemara said, doesn't reject what Rabbi Yechonon said. And Rabbi Yechonon said, because that's only regarding Shemitah, where growth can nullify growth, even in the object itself. But regarding, let's say, Orlo or Klal HaKerem, where there it's dependent on other external variables, and the same thing regarding, as we just explained, for Maaser, where the Isser is not through, it's not from the Karka itself, it's through another element, there it's possibly we're going to say that the Iker, that the Gidul is not going to be Mevatel as the Iker, and we are going to see that as an extension of the Iker, and just like the Iker is Aser, so too the Gidul is going to be something that cannot be considered separate to Mevatel as the Iker. Now, however, although we said that Maaser is going to be like those halachas of Orlin Klai Kerem, which was saying that the Gidul manakad Mevatel as the Iker, so seemingly then the halacha should be that the Gidulin too should be chayiv in meister, just like the ikar of the litra is, so the other non-litra should also be. So why does the braisa say that that which grew in the shmita is going to be exempt? It's only fi cheshbon. That's because since they, although there are growths of the that which is chayiv in trumas and meisters, in the trumas meister, is because that since it grew in the shmita year, that growth itself, although it's an extension of the ikar, and it's not enough to be considered independent to be mevatlis ikar, but still, since it grew in the Shemitah year itself, it is going to be exempt because it's hefker, and hefker doesn't have any halachas of trumas meiser, and therefore that added part is not chayiv, but it's still going to not be able to nullify that which grew. It's not that much of a different of gidulim as separate from the ikar to be considered a separate entity of heter to be mevatlis ikar, again, like we said regarding Arla and Klahakam. Unlike Shemitah, which it's the growth itself that creates the Issa, so the growth itself could create the heter, and then is where we say Gedul Nar Mevatl Nasa Ikar.